Can you believe it? As of today, this was, what, 1 year ago when I started this whole podcast, and I somehow managed to pull it off with the release of this one, 24 podcasts in 1 year. I think that's kind of a cool accomplishment, don't you? Welcome back to Artists and Rogue Radio. I'm Mario, the Artist and Rogue, and this is the one-man show that I produce that covers the thoughts, ideas, and random creative aspects that I somehow have carved into an almost bi-weekly online radio show. What do you know? So, okay, enough about patting myself on the back and all that sort of thing. Let's get this 24th episode started. So here's the thing. I was working on this podcast episode about the ideas of legacy, working toward goals, early aspirations, and midlife, late life kind of crisis states of mind, when I found this great view of what midlife means. So let me lay this down on you. I think midlife is when the universe gently places her hands upon your shoulders, pulls you close, and whispers in your ear, "I'm not screwing around. It's time." All of this pretending and performing, these coping mechanisms that you've developed to protect yourself from feeling inadequate and getting hurt, has got to go. Your armor is preventing you from growing into your gifts. I understand you needed these protections when you were small. I understand that you believed your armor could help you secure all of the things you needed to feel worthy of love and belonging, but you're still searching, and you're more lost than ever. Time is growing short. There are unexplored adventures ahead of you. You can't live the rest of your life worried about what other people think. You were born worthy of love and belonging. Courage and daring are coursing through you. You were made to live and love with your whole heart. It's time to show up and be seen. Now, that was said by Brené Brown, an American scholar, author, and public speaker who's currently a research professor at the University of Houston Graduate College of Social Work. So after reading that, I thought to myself, well, maybe it's more of a general overview of what I myself am going through professionally at this age and state in life. You know, I'd love to think that I'm going to hit 100 years of age. That would be awesome. That me just being over the cusp of 40 years of age right now means I'm really not middle-aged. But then that would mean I'm doing a lot of what Brené mentioned, and it's a weird form of denial that I'm allowing myself. So, you know, maybe it has to do with goals. I mean, I've always told myself that I would somehow make it as an artist, and that's a common theme in many of my previous programs. And goals are great. And they can give us these mental, sometimes physical targets to aim for, but they can also lead to disappointment, really, and anxiety if we don't achieve them, or if we even make them completely pointless by ignoring them, or finding excuses to push them back. You know, kind of like the people that make all those New Year's resolutions and then fall off the promise wagon about 2 months into the new year. You know what? I sincerely believe that's how gyms manage to stay in business and, you know, but are also vacant for a good 80% of the year. Even with all of those free branded corporate gym bags and water bottles that they hand you on the first day you sign up, that's how, you know, they're still able to keep the lights on. Well, this goes beyond art, but I can speak to the factor in that way. I've certainly looked at things I had aspired to have done by this age that are still staring me in the face and impatiently looking at me like a 30-person construction crew at Subway with just one guy running the fucking sandwich line. It's no fun. And even with the best of intentions, if you feel that weight and that pressure come down on you, the sandwiches are layered with mistakes. So the deal is to figure out what you need to do to conquer those things. How do you organize yourself to make sure you are as efficient as possible and not making excuses for why you might be failing? Because here's the thing. Failing is a part of everyday life. I'm a bit of a gambling man, and I love games of chance. If I won every time, it would be boring as hell. The same with life. It shouldn't be safe. Attempting to get life goals should be a challenge, should develop your mind to solve problems, become smarter, faster, better, and round you out as a human being. All of that in an honest attempt to succeed, and more importantly, keep succeeding. But what happens when you're facing a midlife crisis? Oh, holy shit! I'm suddenly just a bit older than yesterday, when I was not made aware of the fact that now I really got to get my shit together and rock that proverbial mic of life like a Beastie Boy. But see, I tend to agree wholeheartedly with what all that quote I read with you, you know, to you. Life isn't that hard, especially if you really try to understand what you want out of life. And you know what? I know. There will always be outside factors like the economy, social fallout, all sorts of things that will provide us with a gigantic fucking soul-eating shark that wants to suck you down to the depths of no self-worth like a paralyzed falcon. But the thing is, There is no way to build a legacy that way. Trial and failure, you know what? They're to be expected and lead to a refinement of the building bricks of life. It's when you just don't even want to stack bricks because you think that someone will come right along and knock them down. And that's when things will overrun you. A lot of times, I blame the rise of instant, always-on kind of social media. But hell, even before, you know, what was it, Friendster? And even before that, messaging programs like ICQ. You know, you could hang with people and still feel that bit of dread if you felt like you had not come as far as you had, you know, planned in life. And truthfully, that's why I never went to any of my own high school reunions. I mean, I had friends, but we were like the D&D loving art and comic dorks that sat at the lunch tables. You know, we were a small, tightly knit group, allergy ridden, yet voraciously intelligent, and were so introverted in most instances that I couldn't even tell you what the other 97% of people I went to high school, you know, even were. Like, you know, what their names were or really anything else like that. I have to go consistently back to my yearbooks to go, oh, yeah. Now, all midlife issues have done, and it's happened to me as well as others that I've known, it's managed to get online, and it blows our insecurities to hell and makes life into a massive comparison chart of accomplishment and white picket fences just, you know, held up with debt and a desire to make life look fucking peachy keen. Now, I may not be as successful as many other artists, but I also didn't have the same path in my career that any of them have had. And that's one qualifier that announces that you're doing something right, because no one should ever walk that same path. We all get things done in different ways with various results and on our own times. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy as saying, you know, I know what's causing it and I can fix it. There's no way in hell that anyone can help you out that easy. And if you believe that, then Tony Robbins has some fucking burning coals for you to run across so you can burn off any last self-respect that you have for yourself. I'm saying that the first thing you can do in coping with midlife crisis moments is to take stock of what you're doing, what you've done, what you haven't done, what you still want to do, and what you still can't do. Well, and then be honest with yourself and accept whatever limitations you have to deal with now in the hopes that you can find a solution to get to where you want to be at. So here's a really good example. And I run multiple sites, do this show, I do freelance, and I'm also involved with more things than I really have time for. But even when life gets overwhelming, I still look at it like this way. I am so freaking happy that the worst thing in my life is just trying to get things to work out from an organizational standpoint. Yeah, sure, I still need to work on making better income at shows. Yes, I need to spend more time working on artwork. Yada, yada, yada. And, of course, I need a job to work to keep the bills at bay, because I accept that I'm not that kind of working artist that can keep food on my plate by just doing art and do all the other things I like to do and just stand behind, you know, by just standing behind a table at comic conventions. That's not going to work right now, yet. But I do know many artists that are friends of mine that have proven to me that if you keep at it, even through things like a midlife crisis or the lack of finishing or attaining any kind of life goals, you will get there. Perseverance is the key. So when you're young, you're full of piss and vinegar and your bed isn't. So you feel like you can take on the world and you're courageous, intrepid, and dream-fueled. But a few years out in the trenches of life can quickly sober you up. Let you know that life is full of sucker punches. I'm always reminded of this little gem of a story back from when I was a security guard, actually. So let me share it with you. It's a little bit ribald. It's a little bit offensive, but maybe you guys will enjoy it and kind of understand this skewed version of what I had. So years ago, I had to break up a fight at a bar I was working at. And it was the bar, the fight actually happened in, of all places, in the women's restroom. And I'd only been doing security for a while, and I was, oh man, maybe, I think I was like 24 or so. So, you know, back then I was like, oh, I don't feel right going in to break it up. But, you know, I had to. That was my job, and I was the only security guard down there, and my backup was still a few minutes from getting there downstairs to help me out. But let me tell you something. Men fight, and this is true. Women, they devastate, they devour, and they desecrate their opponent. And I don't even know if it's years of dealing with the bullshit that gets handed to women over the years, but I am not even remotely ashamed to say that I actually think twice before jumping in to break up a girl fight. You see, I learned in life that you cannot do something like venture into the unknown without expecting some sort of, well, the unknown happening to you. I walked into that bathroom full of bouncer swagger, and I saw three women, two tall ones and a short one, all three of them pulling hair, swinging wildly. Rings and nails, they were drawing like these little fine bloody cut lines across necks, faces. And the reason was because the shorter one was taking too long in a bathroom stall. So the two taller ones, I'm not shitting you, kicked the door open and proceeded to try and pull her off the toilet. So this sensory overload that I was experiencing was compared to, you know, like what I assume was, it was like, you know, I don't even have words for it, but, you know, it's no lie that life suddenly kind of slow motions, like, you know, like fucking Neo dodging a bullet. But just like Neo on his first time, I took a hit right in the nutsack. My fucking ball sailed from that tiny woman's angered and balled up fist, which had to be the inspiration for Miley Cyrus' song Wrecking Ball, some years later when word of this legendary punch to the dick reached her agent in some cocaine-infused meeting about the possible script for Roadhouse 2. I got hit so goddamn hard, my nutsack smacked into my ass cheeks like a tetherball hit by a fifth grader who had the ability to grow like a goddamn beard at that point in age in life. My life, it flashed before my eyes. I remember sliding onto what I hoped was just water on the floor. My eyes were teary and blurry. I felt like I wanted to puke, but I was also trying not to cry. And the other bouncers got there just as I was leaning on the sink, praying that all that pain would go away. I didn't even give a shit about the fight anymore. I was like, oh, y'all, just kill yourself. Don't even care. They helped me out of there, and I got the girls under control, but I will never forget because, you know, how I walked into that altercation, and I was just overwhelmed. That is how life is. A series of hands. Some will help you. Some hit you in the balls. But it's also being able to understand that you are, you know, what you're walking into and what you've been through that will help you eventually overcome life to the fullest. And so with that, I just want to thank you all for listening to the radio show, and I really love all the compliments and comments and feedback that you guys have shared with me, you know, via messaging and all this other stuff. And yes, I've certainly already started talking to other artists and creative people I love to have on this show. It's not just going to be subject matters about art. It's really about living art, you know, living life as an artist and what we go through. I mean, as exemplified by that wonderful story I just shared with you. So, until next time, I'm Mario on Artisan Rogue Radio. Thanks again.